Hey everybody, it's Jason. I'm recording this from Puerto Rico, where I am currently based for the next couple of weeks. What you're about to hear is our Sunday night regular show, Jared and I doing it. I was here in Puerto Rico, so it's going to sound a little different, and there are no drops, and I didn't get to play the music fresh off the show. So just a little bit of a message here at the top of the program to let you know it's a little different. There's also some heavy news in this, and before we get to the actual show, and we did talk about all the big stories in American soccer, I just want to go further and add to what I said during the program and say that the news about Darryl Grove is extremely difficult, and I don't know exactly how to put into words how I feel about Darryl or what to say about his contribution to the world of soccer podcasting or just American soccer in general. Darryl Grove is one of the most genuine people you will ever meet. If you got the chance to meet him, you are better for it. Darryl Grove is the best of us. And with that, let's start the show.
You sure you're ready for this?
I'll do my best.
Your best? Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and f*** the prom queen.
Welcome to the best soccer show. The best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go. It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois. We are here in our usual time slot, but we are not in our usual locations. Jared is. You're still there.
I am.
I'm beautiful.
I knew we weren't going to be on video, so I did put no product in my hair. So it's really disturbing to look at my own image right now.
Would you like me to take you off of our live video stream?
I can do it myself. I don't need you. I know how to do things and push buttons.
That's true. You could do it. I'm like a ball that's got the little thing coming out of it that represents my voice, which makes me feel like Hal from Space Odyssey.
2001?
2001, A Space Odyssey, a movie I forgot about.
Are you technically in another country?
I am not. No, we've been over this, and you know this by now because you are aware of my connection to the island of Puerto Rico. I am in Puerto Rico, which is part of the United States. It is they'll say colony here. It's technically like a territory. I'm visiting my in-laws with my beautiful wife because this is the last time we can travel. Like, I don't know if you have two boys. I don't know if you thought about travel when your wife was pregnant, and it's complicated now because of COVID too.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, if I was traveling, it was going to be by car within an hour. I don't think we did any kind of plane travel during that. She may have done a business trip at like 4 or 5 months, maybe 6 months.
Oh, that's early though.
Yeah, I can't think of her doing anything down the stretch.
Yeah, so I'm in Puerto Rico. This may be not the best version of the show quality, audio quality wise, but we're here. We're doing it because there's too much to talk. I wanted to do the show. There's no way I was going to skip out on everything that's happened in the last couple of days, Jared. I mean, not only would I want to get together to talk about Americans abroad, because there's a bunch of news there, but we have to talk about Brendan Aaronson being transferred. We'll get to that in a second. We got to talk about the Supporter Shield controversy that has bubbled up in the last day, which is wild. And the most American soccer crap ever, right?
What's the most Puerto Rican thing happening within like 10 feet of you right now?
You know, the windows are... Well, I can hear the coqui outside. You know about the coqui, right?
The cuckooey?
There's a little frog that is native to Puerto Rico. It's called the coqui. Uh-huh. C-O-Q-U-I. And it has a very distinct sound it makes that at night. And if you talk to anybody who has either spent time in Puerto Rico or is from Puerto Rico, that's the sound that's like home for them. It's okay, the coqui.
So fill in the gaps for me. Are you living near a swamp?
No, it's the whole island. It's a tropical island. What the hell is... How is
I know,
that?
Where does a frog live in the middle of a city?
In the trees, man. They live in...
Oh, they're frogs.
I'm not in the middle of the city. I'm kind of in the... And first of all, they're really... Unless you're in San Juan proper, it's really not. There's trees and tropicals. I posted pictures to my Instagram today, which I know you don't care about. You're like... You make jokes. You make jokes on my Instagram all the time that are inappropriate. I'm just going to tell people that. That's our relationship now.
What?
But I posted.
That's a fine line.
Okay. Well, I posted pictures today in my stories of the avocado tree that is growing in my in-law's backyard, and they're kind of they're on a mountaintop or a hill, very rocky
like a bunch
hill.
Of tree testicles, dude.
Well, that if you like avocado, it's gold. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. There's like 50 of them, like ready to pluck, and he's got a bag of 30 more that are ripening right now. If you like avocado, and Jared, you like. You like Mexican food? You don't like guacamole? You're not into that?
Every once in a while, I'll partake, but like I don't understand the avocado gold that people see in it.
Okay, well, I like avocados. They also have oranges growing out back. They have mangoes growing out back. They have papaya growing. This is all growing naturally. They're not planting.
Is there a smoothie culture in Puerto Rico if you have all that stuff there?
Absolutely. It's called frappe, and it's more like...
Well, they're too good for to call it smoothie?
Well, they do speak Spanish here, so I don't know.
Maybe it's that smoothie is frappe.
It is one version, yeah.
That's
sure.
Something Starbucks came up with.
You know how, like, you know how when you get a smoothie now in the States, it's like, oh, add some protein power and powder and some green tea extract or whatever, and they're trying to make it all super healthy. The frappe stuff here is more like ice cream. Like, it's more like that. It's kind of like it's a treat. It's not supposed to be like I'm gonna, you know, get healthier because I'm drinking a smoothie, which I do appreciate that.
Okay, so it's smoothie for the sake of smoothie. No, they don't do it for the health effects or anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So yes. Might as well throw a little rum in it then.
That absolutely. You could completely do that. All right. I am in Puerto Rico. That's a topic that we can come back to later on.
I'm just drinking the banquet beer. I'm drinking Old Man Coors, not light.
I see that. I see that. Beer. Yeah, that's
not a sponsor.
It's very macho of you, I guess. Should be a sponsor.
Very old man of me. There's a vibe to it, and I'm not sure why I picked it. Actually, I was using the Drizzly last night, and the guy got to the liquor store, and like they're out of the beer that I told him to pick. So I said, just get the Coors.
Okay. All right. I'm not up on the Drizzly. I'm not using that yet, but I guess in the pandemic period, you should do that.
Also not a sponsor, but should be.
All right. So we've got a lot of things to get to on this show. Let's start with, and this is kind of chronological, because again, there's some things that have happened the last couple of days. It might be bigger stories, depending on where you come from. But Brendan Aaronson, the transfer finally going through, Jerry. We all knew he was going to go to Red Bull Salzburg. Turns out it's a done deal. Now, because it's MLS, we will not get an exact number reported by the club. They won't say we sold Brendan Aaronson for blank $1 million. But Jonathan Tannenwald, who was on the midweek show talking about the women's national team players, but not talking about Brendan Aaronson, he says it's $6 million with an additional $3 million of add-ons that are reasonably possible for him to reach in Salzburg. Tell me that's not a fat chunk of change.
No, it's a big chunk of change, bigger than I thought. But just real quick, can we start calling Jonathan Tannenwald Jonathan Taylor Tannenwald?
That's actually pretty good. Let's do that right now.
JTT.
I'm stamping it. It's done. JTT on the show on the midweek episode from the stands.
But as reported by JTT during the week, shocking number. I mean, listen, it's not 20 million or something. It's not, so I guess it's not shocking, but very surprising because we played a whole game around this recently. If you remember, you brought up, or we had Nikki bring up the transfermarket.us and guest of values. And if I remember correctly, they had him marked at, and we both bid it around 3 to 3.5 million, right?
I think I was closer to 5 than you were, but I don't think I was much. I was like,
but
on
that's
this
not where
level.
It hit though. The actual market where we thought where it was officially at, according to the transfermarket.us. So yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that first of all, good on the union. Well, go ahead.
Yes. Do you think that there's any chance that Salzburg is paying a premium to establish a relationship because the union are pumping them out?
Listen, someone should, to be honest with you. I mean, they've already got Tyler Adams on the through that relationship there. It's interesting if they are, because you would think that there's a natural Red Bull kind of relationship with the New York team. So it'd be interesting if Philly was the other place and they have two related. But yeah, I mean, hey, remember with that guy Aaronson, we gave you good money, we treated you right. Yeah. I'd like to talk to you about a guy you have named Mark McKenzie.
Or another guy named Aaronson who's coming up.
Yeah,
a little
he needs
but
he a
says
roommate.
Be better. Yeah, I mean there's plenty of talent coming out of the union machine, and I'm wondering if that's something Red Bull wants to be tapped into. Here's a complication though for union fans, Jared. So you want to back your boy, right? You want to support Brendan Aaronson as he goes off to Austria next year. He's playing for a team that's called Red Bull. Can you, in good conscience, buy a Brendan Aaronson Red Bull Salzburg jersey?
Man, I don't think you can, dude.
Like, I don't think you can.
I couldn't do that. No way. There's no way. If LAFC somehow had a big brother or something like that overseas, and like even if it was Landon Donovan, if it was Julian Araujo, my boy right now, like my number one of my, there are not many things for me to be positive about at my club. Julian Araujo is one of them.
Yeah.
And if he went out there, I don't think I could buy it for, like, I don't know what LAFC's parent company would be, but I couldn't buy it. No way that I could do that.
No, I don't think you can. I think it's too close to the New York team. Obviously, the connection is there. So that's a little bit of a complication.
When he comes in at $6 million, okay? And yeah. I think, did you see anyone that thought, like, oh, that's what I thought it was going to be? I didn't see anyone talking like that.
No, I think everybody was surprised. And because, so the way the union phrased their press release was interesting. It said he's sets a record for an American homegrown player coming out of MLS, which is true, by the way. There's nothing wrong with the statement. It's just that it also kind of gets around the fact that Alphonso Davies went for, you know, 14 mil plus add-ons to Bayern Munich, which is definitely the record. Yeah, because he's not American, which I get why they did that. And again, I think that Aaronson's number is more indicative of where the market might end up being for Major League Soccer on the regular than Alphonso Davies, right?
So I think this is a smart thing that every MLS club needs to be doing right now. Sell on. Get that sell on. I mean, that's just what it's all about these days. Get that sell on. So 6 million, potentially 9. And so my question for you, Jason Davis, is this the like the Pulisic, Reyna, Dest bump? Is that what's responsible for this from 3 or 4 to 6 up to 9?
I think that there is definitely a rising esteem for American players, and it's impacting.
Did we finally break through the ceiling?
Well, I mean, look, what does that mean exactly? Now, look, if there are 10 guys who go for $6 to $9 million in the next two windows, then yes, I'll say that. But it's too early to make any grand judgments about this.
I think we're
in
the Wonka Vader going slant ways right through the glass ceiling. And I think that it's being propelled by Dest signing at Barcelona, Gio talk about potentially Real Madrid, which we will get to tonight, Pulisic at Chelsea. I mean, Wes McKinney at Juventus. Everyone wants to find that next one. All of a sudden, I'm telling you, dude, I wish we had a drop of it. What's that En Vogue song? Because they're in vogue right now. What was an En Vogue song? I can't remember the difference. Between
was
that
Never Gonna Get It an En Vogue song?
Never Gonna Get It. I think that is En Vogue.
That's why people tune into this program, to hear us sing 25-year-old R&B.
In harmony.
I was a big fan of En Vogue.
We may not be sisters with voices, but we could potentially be En Vogue.
We're not SSWWUV or however they used to say that. Okay. SWV. Yeah, we're not. Yeah, no, I know, but I was trying to. They say it in one of the songs. SSWWUV or something like that. Anyway,
you were far better up on that one in the 90s than I was. I would defer to you, but I'm telling you right now, there is an American bump going on, and that's a crazy thing from a year ago where we were destitute. About like where we were going as a national team and stuff like that. The last year has been the most there's an accelerant that has been sprayed on the net on Americans right now that I had no vision to at all a year ago.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of understandable, right? Like, it was never going to be this you know, incremental growth year in, year out. I say this all the time. I say it on my radio show. I have a radio show? I have
in
a radio
Puerto
show.
Puerto Rico?
Apparently I do. Yeah. Puerto Rican radio soccer. The line of improvement for American soccer was never going to be a straight 45 degree line up and up over time. Right. It was going to plateau at points. It would maybe even drop obviously it dropped for the missing out on the World Cup in 2018, but then it was always going to like have some sort of spike just based on the fact that we put money in 10 years ago that didn't exist, right? And there's interest in the game that didn't exist 10 years ago because of all the stuff we get on television. No, you cannot watch Sergiño Dest in Barcelona, but still, you can watch a lot of these guys. You can see the famous world leagues, and in this part of the country or in this part of the world, that has a massive impact on these kids. So, you know, I think this is, again, I wasn't going to be able to predict it necessarily, but when we saw Pulisic break through, it wasn't like he was... Well, no, actually, I did call him a unicorn. I kind of was convinced he might have been a one-off, And apparently he wasn't.
I wasn't concerned. I was more concerned that he wasn't going to be able to make the step. That's what I was really worried about, is that.
Yeah, you were down his Chelsea chops.
Well, EPL's cutthroat. You got a new manager in Frank Lampard who is going to look for any reason to cut bait on anyone that's going to save his job. You know, I mean, that guy could have been a one season coach, you know, and then you're the guy that brought in for a big chunk of money. And all of a sudden you're sitting the bench, you know, so that was a big deal. But my question for you is, if this truly is, let's assume there's an American bump going on right now. I mean, what does that mean for someone like Mark McKenzie, who before we thought maybe 1.5, 2 million? What does Mark McKenzie
get? I don't think 1.5, 2 million was ever going to get done. In fact, I think our friend JTT, Jonathan Taylor Tannenwald, was saying that Celtic came in with a $1.5 million bid and the union laughed in their faces, figuratively speaking, which they should have. Now, he's 2 years older than Brendan Aaronson, so he's 21.
And a defender.
But he's actually playing a position that I think is, I don't think the number, the quantity of top level center back prospects is all that high around the world. And by the way, you know, obviously when you see the best center back in the world go down with an injury in the Merseyside Derby, you know, these guys are at a premium. So I wonder if his value will go. I don't think it's going to be 6 to 9 million. I think his age is going to be a factor here, but I think you can bump him up $2-3 million from where we thought. I think Mark McKenzie's a $5 million player. Okay, I mean, so Matt Miazga was.
What's a equitable player to Brendan Aaronson right now in terms of age and skill wise and potential European move? Is there even another one like that? Like, if you have Brendan Aaronson and you have Chris Muller,
yeah,
who's fetching more between those two players?
Brendan Aaronson. For sure.
Brendan Aaronson and let's say...
You know who the player is? No, the player is Paxton Pomykal, who might have been at a higher valuation to the market than Aaronson was last year. But obviously, Paxton Pomykal keeps getting hurt, and that slowed down his progress. And he might have been the first one to go out of Dallas in that group, but instead it's Reggie Cannon. So I still think it's Pomykal. And I'm not saying that Pomykal's better than Aaronson. That's kind of tough to decide right now, but I've been extremely impressed with Paxton Pomykal over the last 2 or 3 years, and he's only 20 years old. So he gets it together. He might be the guy that goes for 10.
It is kind of messed up, though, that it's like a three-name race for people you can potentially even come close to comparing to Brendan Aaronson right now. Like, there's just not a lot of that age player. And that's maybe a good thing, because that generation of player, Brendan Aaronson's generation, which he's what now, what, 19?
Brendan Aaronson is 19, yes.
His generation's already in Europe. Think about that, dude. Like, this is one of the first times in American soccer history that the entire generation's already in Europe at 19.
Well, there are guys who did that. So, like, you know, guys who waited out until they were 18 to go over there. Some guys have a passport. Obviously, that's the golden ticket. But I do think there's more talent in MLS.
Think of past generations. Think of the Landon Donovan's generation. You had Bobby Convey. MLS, DC United, then went to Reading. Didn't start over there. You know, DeMarcus Beasley started in Chicago, then went over to PSV. Like, that generation had a stepping stone of MLS. This current generation is just skipping it. Even the generation directly before this, DeAndre Yedlin had to go through Seattle to get there.
But I still think that's happening, by the way. But I think there are multiple paths, and I think what you're seeing is a greater number of American players. And some are taking that direct to Europe path, a la Weston McKennie, a la Josh Sargent, and some of them are still taking the MLS path. Just to throw this on here.
But I'm just saying that the talent of Brendan Aaronson is already in Europe right now for the U.S. There's, like, literally, what's the drop-off to the next player after Brendan Aaronson in his generation in MLS right now?
I think
22?
Yeah, it's not Chris Mueller. It's Pomykal. It's Brian Reynolds who's replacing Cannon at right back and wowing people. I'm just looking through the homegrown list.
You have to think. It's not just off the tip of your tongue.
No, I'm not. Well, no, I know, but I just want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. So I'm going through a list of players that, you know, is kind of deep, which is why I'm scrolling instead of just trying to. James Sands, who just got hurt. Is extremely highly rated and could probably go for 5 mil. James Sands out of NYCFC. Man, just because you don't know.
I know, but that's the point. He's not... Okay. I have a soccer show every week I talk to you about. I'm not thinking about James Sands. That's what I'm talking about. The drop off is so big from Aronson to the next person in terms of profile and age. Every other guy his age is already in Europe. And that's the point I'm making, is that there is an accelerant going on.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. I just don't think you're getting exactly right, because I think there's more talent at 16 and 17 in MLS than there's ever been before. And rather than say that those guys are skipping MLS, what we can say is that like a Caden Clark, those guys are going into MLS at 16 and 17 and then getting their transfer at 18 and 19, whereas a generation ago, you weren't leaving MLS till you were 22 or 23 at the earliest, if you're Matt Miazga.
Even if you go to the 16, 17 range, Pulisic was in there at 16 at Dortmund.
He had a golden Reina's ticket.
Over there at 17 right now.
Golden ticket.
Why? Because he had a passport?
Yes.
Okay.
You can't compare a passport player to a player who doesn't have one. You can't do it because they have an option to go before they're 18. Whereas McKenny has to wait till he's 18. Josh Sargent has to wait till he's 18. All right, let's move on from Brendan Aaronson. We're all excited to see him play in Europe in the very near future. In the last day and a half, maybe not even that, yesterday, a controversy erupted in Major League Soccer when the Supporters Shield Foundation, Jared, are you aware of such a thing?
Is that like a lair of superheroes or something?
I think it's like where they pump all the shady money to support.
Are they devoted to like fighting crime?
Okay. If they were, that would be great. I think they're probably more like Spectre. I don't know. Is that, or what's the one from the Marvel universe?
I don't know, but I'm thinking
Hydra. I got it. Like Hydra. Like Hydra.
I'm so old. I'm thinking Get Smart. And what was the name of the, like, it was Hydra. Even then it wasn't a Hydra Get Smart.
It wasn't Hydra. All right. Anyway. Cobra? It could be Cobra. Sure. That's an 80s reference. That's more up our alley. Cobra. After much consideration and discussion, the Supporter Shield Foundation has decided to forego the awarding of the Supporter Shield for the 2020 season. This is not an easy decision to make. With the inability for supporters to be in attendance and fill their stadiums with passion, however, we feel as though the current climate goes against the spirit of the Shield. The Supporter Shield Foundation stands with our players and our supporters in knowing that this year has been one of many challenges, and we commend the support and effort given to making the best of the 2020 season as it has been. With no 2020 winner to house the Shield, we will be taking 2021 as a means to spread the word and the spirit of the Shield across the entire league. We look forward to educating supporters on the Shield's history and passion, as well as welcoming new supporters groups to MLS. As long as it can be safely done, the Supporter Shield will be going on tour in 2021 so that as many supporters as possible may be able to see and learn about this wonderful symbol.
Do you think they're going to have like pilgrimages to it or something?
Okay, so I didn't even finish. That's okay. You get the gist. There are a couple things here. One, I thought when I read it first, I didn't go deep enough with my thought process. And I thought, oh, okay, this is cool. Don't give it out because it's not a fair season. The reaction has been almost unanimously negative towards this. First of all, it seems that these guys didn't talk to the actual other supporter groups in Major League Soccer or didn't do a good enough job of doing that and made sort of a unilateral choice. The other thing is that the players and the teams are pissed. Greg Vanney said, "My players are pissed. It's a huge sign of disrespect to the players. It has arguably been the most difficult season in the history of our league and where people have put their health at risk to play and put games on television for fans. This season has required a huge commitment from all teams. People were genuinely afraid for their health. It's a disgraceful decision that delegitimizes the whole idea of the Shield, in our opinion. Those who made the decision are like kids in a park who take their ball away when the game isn't going their way. It's childish and a symbol that they don't know how sports operates." Jared, do you agree with Greg Vanney?
No, I think they got it right. I think that that Shield shouldn't be awarded this year. This year sucks. Like, there's I get they did everything they did. Give a pizza party, you know, like
this, Listen,
I'm going to work every day. I'm going to work every day and putting my health on the line. I ain't getting my bonus this year because this year sucks. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this, there's no way to statistically say that this was an accurate and fair season and you should be rewarding.
No, but I don't think that's the point, though. I think the point is that there's never really a balanced schedule, right? Major League Soccer hasn't had a balanced schedule in 10 years. So you're already kind of, you've already given up the ghost on like how the Shield might represent the best team in the league in the regular season.
You got four teams in the West that are missing two to four games apiece.
I do understand that.
It's not even about balance. Like, Colorado can't play.
I know there is going to be a points per game situation for the playoffs, and I'm not happy about that for sure.
I mean, let's say we do give the supporters shield, and they decide to give all the Colorado games as wins to the other team, and all of a sudden LAFC gets 6 extra points and they beat Toronto.
That's not how they would
one.
Do it. I guarantee you don't know that. Well, okay, that's true. I don't know. By the way, my issue isn't necessarily not giving the supporters shield out this year or awarding it. I understand that to a point. My issue is the communication, which I didn't really get when I saw the initial statement that there wasn't enough communication because people just weren't aware that this decision was being made. Let's bring in our friend Mike from Philly, who was nice enough to ask me if he could call the show. And then I said, leave a voicemail, and realized they couldn't play it. So now he's here live. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey guys, what's going on?
And all right, so give us the thoughts, man. Tell me if Jared's right on all of this.
No, Jared's wrong. I 100% agree with Greg Vanney. And Bedoya came out with similar comments, right? And look, I know this sounds like I have sour grapes because for once in our goddamn existence, we have a shot at something like this, right? So, look, here's the thing. Jason, to your point, I think the communication, awful. For starters, they don't even mention the only thing that you could plausibly think this is justified in, which is the sporting merit of it all, not even part of the communication. The whole thing's about, hey, look at us, we're fans. Soccer's nothing without fans. You're not that goddamn special. Pat ourselves on the back all the time from the supporters culture. It's fucking, can I curse on this?
Well, it's too late now, Mike. I think you just did.
You wouldn't be in Philly if you didn't.
Entitlement
that soccer fans have, and I think it gets in our own way a lot of times. The shield is already diminishing in value year after year with a more and more unbalanced schedule each year. Honestly, I think this expedites the death and relevance of the shield even more if they don't award it this year. I look at it as the format is constantly shifting and changing the way they award the shield each year. There's maybe two seasons ever that had a truly balanced schedule, and the rest, you know, you're retroactively awarding back to 1996 when they had shootouts and no ties. 2001, you look at had Chicago and Miami played the same amount of games. Maybe Miami loses that last game and Chicago ends up winning the shield. The shield needs to be taken for what it is, which is not the championship. The championship's MLS Cup, and the shield is a trophy that needs to be thought of in the context of that particular season. I mean,
okay.
We're not done. We know that the 2020 season is unique and sucks and not perfect for a lot of reasons, but if all the perks of winning the shield are still there, why not just award the same damn thing and the timing of it too? The players are playing the entire season under the pretense that this is a trophy they're playing for, and in the last month, we're going to yank it out from underneath them.
I actually do agree with that part. It's not something I brought up initially, but it is true, Jared, that you have to take issue with the fact that they had dropped this announcement with, you know, what, four games left for everybody, whatever it is. And it's like, wait, hold on. Now that's a thing that you're going to tell us? Like, why didn't you decide this way, like before MLS is back? Oh, this is going to be weird. We're playing a tournament in the middle of the season. This isn't going to be a normal year. Forget the supporter shield. I wouldn't necessarily have been on board with that idea of being, but you can't do it now.
So you're going to hold this, the supporter shield Federation for Truth and Justice, whatever they're called. you're gonna hold them to a different standard than MLS holds to themselves, because MLS themselves committed to nothing until last minute all season long. So how do you want them to commit to something if the dang league won't do it?
Here's the other thing, Jack. Apparently it's five dudes that made the decision and didn't even really consult. Like, I think there was maybe a few consultations with a few supporters clubs here, but as far as I can tell, no one from Sons of Ben had any say in this. No one from the Toronto groups that I see on Twitter are saying they were totally in the dark with this decision. So, I mean, it seems like a very small group of people just making the decision for everyone because they know best, and soccer supporters are special, and look at us. It's
Jared.
Let's not forget that a small group of dudes in Philly founded a whole country. Okay, and spoke for a lot of people.
What if these guys are like the seven, or the five, or whatever, the seven, and they're sitting around, and you know, one of these dudes is like Homelander, and you really don't want him making decisions for the rest of us, Jared? Come on, you have to understand the possibility of malfeasance involved here.
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely could be, but it's something like that. But here's my thing too. Does that mean that we're like, so we're going to give out a CONCACAF spot for this, whoever this team is too, right? That's, we're going to give a CONCACAF spot out. Like
it's going to happen anyway. I think MLS already said,
Not going to stop. They're not going to not play the Champions League next year. So of course somebody has to get this spot. Even if the whole thing is a joke, they're going to give the spot to the top team in the standings. So why not award the supporter shield? I guess that's kind of the argument.
Are we
going
to even have an MLS Cup?
That's up in the air right now, Jared. We're figuring it out. Okay,
just like why does any of this matter? Why are people outraged? Like, who cares? This season.
Well, I do think
it's crap on a plate right now. The entire season. I don't care if there's an MLS Cup. I don't care if there's a supporter shield.
It's crap on a frisbee. Is what you could say if you really wanted to go in that direction. You know,
a disc.
Sure, a disc. Whatever you guys call it.
I just don't understand why we're all up in arms about it. Like, did we really think that the best regular season team was going to mean something this year? It doesn't mean anything.
Well, look,
that's why I say, why do you want to associate something that does mean something, the supporter shield, to a season that means nothing?
Okay, but they're gonna play an MLS Cup if they can. So I think the thought is, if you're going to go through the pretense of all this bullshit anyway, just do it all. Don't do half of it. Don't do some of it. Don't pick and choose. Don't go make some grandstand about, oh, the fans won't be there, so it's not in the spirit of this of the supporter shield. I think that's the argument. And I do get that, because while I think this whole thing is crap, and I've said that the competitive integrity of the season was gone a long, long time ago, give up on that idea. If you're going to do it, don't half-ass it. Wait, just so do
you,
the thing.
You have no problem reconciling those two things, that the integrity of the season was gone long ago, but you're going to put the supporter shield onto that. You're going to put a badge on that.
Sure, because we can always go back and say there's a big-ass asterisk on this season, because that's what's going to happen. Because we're not – Major League Soccer is not going to stop playing games. They're not going to not give out MLS Cup. So we are going to have to later on retroactively go, yeah, that 2020, forget that. We're not going to pretend that never happened. So yes.
If someone like LAFC or Seattle doesn't get their points from these Colorado games and Toronto beats them by less than a game's worth of points, you have no problem with that team getting a supporter shield.
Man, look, nothing's
by PPG.
It's going to be by PPG.
MLS's criteria for determining.
So we have no problem. We have a big problem with them not giving the supporter shield. We have no problem with the fact that they changed and announced this late 85% into the season. But we have no problem with them changing the criteria for the supporter shield 85% of the season in. You said that there's a dichotomy here that doesn't align with itself.
Okay.
So I don't know who said this on Twitter. They presented themselves as one of the more OG supporter shield dudes. I think he might have been out of Columbus. But in his assessment, the shield was always just to be awarded to whoever came out on top by MLS criteria at the end of the season. So I don't know if there's anything in the supporter shield bylaws or this or that it has to be truly based on points. I think it's MLS ranking.
Did you just say supporter shield bylaws?
I don't know. People agreed in it.
I didn't know there was a committee until yesterday. I thought it was when MLS named the dang thing.
I do understand. And I what's funny about this, it's cyclical, and I'm not trying to bash supporters, right? So Mike is saying that, you know, these particular supporters act holier than thou, and it's about us, and look at us, and we're not going to be there, so you can't possibly give out this trophy that we lovingly created in 1998 or whatever it was. But it's also the same thing with supporters going after these guys and just elevating this whole thing to this.
Jason's gone.
Yeah, so on his end, he's still going, but we knew that there might be some Puerto Rico problem.
Did I? Hey, guys. Am I back
now?
You're back.
Okay. I was
going you're making a hot point, too.
Damn it. Connections in Puerto Rico. Whatever. It's been elevated to you know, what is Jared? What I can't say the line on this show. We are somewhat family friendly, but there's a line from one of our favorite movies, Boomerang, where
got to coordinate.
This is from 40-Year-Old Virgin. Now that I think about it, it's from 40-Year-Old Virgin. There's a line in that movie, which I'm not going to say on the show, that kind of encapsulates some of this. You're putting it on a pedestal, right? You're making this. I understand it's important, but it is also kind of like we're all squeezing it.
I don't want to say that the MLS Cup isn't important. I don't want to say the supporter shield is not important. They are important. I just don't think they're important this year and not important enough to have to feel like we have to award them if the season doesn't justify it. That's my only issue, to be honest with you.
My thing is, it's you can only play what you can play, right? You can only do what you can do and play the teams that are put in front of you. And, you know, you take out of that what you can. And I mean, by all indications, the teams are taking it as seriously as they ever have. So why pull that away from them as a incentive? And, you know, I don't know. It doesn't sit well with me. Obviously, I'm somewhat biased because my team's directly involved and it is mostly Philly and Toronto people being noisy about this. But, I don't know. It sounds like they can still double back on it, but we'll see.
Yeah,
I think you just took a shot at me for being a Galaxy fan. Like, my team's not in it, so that's why my position's different.
Your team is definitely not in it. Definitely not in it.
How many teams make the playoffs? Does the bottom team make the playoffs this year?
Pretty close, actually. That's another one of those hits against the Sporting Integrity, right? That there are 18 teams making the playoffs in 2020.
Here's the take from Shaden in the chat. Why play this season then? And I get that sense. I get that. Here's why you play the season. Because you got bills to pay and sponsorships to come good on. It ain't about the trophy. You think MLS is playing because they want to hand out a supporter shield and an MLS Cup at the end of the season? They don't care about you. They don't care about any of this. It's that money, baby. That's all they care about is making that money, but not being financially insolvent by the end of this year. And if they do it, that's success. That is success if a league still is around at the end of this year. And I don't fault them for that at all.
Well, this is what everybody's saying. Now that the Supporter Shield Foundation, you know, whatever, the team of five that decided this have pulled the Supporter Shield off the table, then maybe this is going to lead to Major League Soccer finding some sponsor and creating their own award for the points title, Jared. And then we'll have the Continental Tire Cup brought to you by Mountain Dew Pizza Hut, like that kind of thing. And, you know, I think those jokes are played out when it comes to Major League Soccer, but I do think there's a point to be had that, and Mike already mentioned it, if you create a situation where the supporter shield's off the table, the league is happy to fill that void.
With what?
Well, that's what I'm saying. With something that
we can get that out, you know, cut off your nose to spite your face.
All right.
I don't know. I wasn't even thinking before this. I was assuming they were going to give a supporter shield and I was assuming they were going to do MLS Cup. I hadn't really thought about it too much, whether or not it was justified or not. But once I read that, I was like, yeah, I guess it's not really. That's just my take on it. And I know that I'm probably in the minority on this and people are probably mad and punching their steering wheels as they listen to this. But I just don't get why it's a necessity. I guess that's my only thing.
All right. The whole process seemed to break down. Mike, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on. Guys. There goes Mike and Philly on the show. Didn't even get to talk about Brendan Aaronson getting sold, Jared. I'm sure he's super excited about that, but that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, questions. So you do this whole thing. Okay. So you got to play your little game of me versus Mike. You didn't have to take a stand on this. Where do you sit with this?
Man, I think I said it. Once I sort of thought through the process that they went through or the lack thereof, the lack of communication, which seems pretty clear based on people I follow that are in the supporters community, and then thinking about that 85% of the season being done and doing it now, I think it was the wrong choice. I do think it was the wrong choice. Now, you could have created some sort of alternative. You could say that, you know, this year is weird, so we're going to give out the supporter shield, but it's not going to be whatever. We're not going to be official with it the way we're going to engrave your name on it or whatever it is. Like, there will be somebody awarded, but find some way to kind of mitigate the fact that this is a crap season and everybody knows the schedule's even wackier than normal. Is okay. That not a good response?
So you're saying give the supporter shield?
I'm saying do something, yes.
No, I'm saying the way that they did it. You're saying give the supporter shield, yes or no?
No, that's not the dichotomy. That's not the binary choice.
That's the conversation we were just having.
No, I think they did the wrong thing. Period. I think the Supporters Shield Foundation.
They should have given the supporters phalanx. Like,
sure. Yeah. Buy a sword and put supporters sword on
the supporters mask. They should have given the supporters mask out.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Get a silver mask and then do that. Absolutely. No, okay. I think they should give the supporter shield out this year. Absolutely. I do. If you're going to do everything else, if you're going to give an MLS Cup, if you're going to have playoff teams, you're going to pretend like this is normal, even though we all know it's not. And that's the point. Mike said it. Like, we're all doing this cognitive dissonance thing where we're acting like this is normal when we know it's not. But, oh, wow. Okay, sorry. That news just hit me really hard.
Yeah, I know. I was reading it in the background, and okay. I was gonna say at the end of the show because I didn't want to make your night different than it had to be right now.
We should power through, but the news we just got is not. I don't want to. It's not our place either on this. Yeah. I don't think we should be talking about it.
Let's say, there's a member of the soccer community. We got some news. Is not doing well, and our hearts go out to him and his family right now.
Okay. So in the meantime. So I guess they have publicized this, so we'll go ahead.
It's on their official page.
Yeah. Go find the Total Soccer Show's podcast feed and listen for yourself. And I have to do that after the program, but we do have some other MLS stuff to get to on the show. And let's go away from something that seems important and is probably, who knows, not to something that is absolutely dumb, and we will argue about it a little bit, I'm guessing, at least with some people. I don't know where you will fall on this.
Okay.
The Houston Dynamo are apparently going through a rebrand. Apparently, they're also going to go through a sale. And I believe it was Pablo Maurer and I want to say Paul Tenorio, but I may be wrong. One of the Athletic teams, the Voltron of Athletic writers, had a report with the pictures of the rebrand for the Houston Dynamo. And my first instinct, Jared, it's an H and a D intertwined. It looks like a baseball logo. That's what it looks like.
That was my exact thing I thought when I saw it. No, it doesn't mean it doesn't look good. I think it looks good. It's kind of a mix between the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees in a way. It's like the script of Boston with the overlay of the New York Yankees. Here's what I will say. It's classically American. It may be classically American for the wrong sport, but yeah. I think it preys on something. If you want to sell merch, this is a good thing to do. I think this will sell merch, and it will be identifiable in the Houston area. And I think Houston sports.
Will it stand out though? But will sports fans in Houston see it and go soccer team, or will they? I mean, like,
does it
understand
matter if
that,
they buy it?
Well, maybe not. But I do think you are trying to make fans. This is what. So I'm going to talk about the team up the road that you don't like. But this is what LAFC got right. Yep. That they figure out a way to capture something that is Los Angeles, got a bunch of people wearing the logo that weren't soccer fans. And then when it was time for them to hit the switch and actually play games, it all kind of caught in that way. Now the Dynamo are already playing. They don't have the benefit of a fresh start, but I wonder if this is going to translate to that where people like, this is dope. This represents Houston. I'm Houston. I want to wear this. Oh, and also now I'm a soccer fan, because that's the part that I think matters.
Yeah, I think, and listen, I think isn't, we always forget his name. Who's the gentleman from the Rockets that's buying in?
Oh, yeah. Why do you do that to me?
This is the third week in a row we've done this, and we don't have it. But
James Harden is his name. James Harden.
No, James Harden. Yeah, I thought you said Martin.
Don't say no when I'm saying the right name.
I thought you said Martin. I'm sorry. I didn't think you, I think there's a reason I heard you say Martin. Yeah, James Harden. So with him coming on, I'm sure he had a good deal of this. And listen, James Harden is cool. And I think bringing him along helps with the cool factor, just like Drake being in something is cool. Like, there's a lot of things that you can do. And like with LAFC, with the ownership group was able to put together, the logo that was able to put out there was cool. I'll be the first one to say it. The LA Galaxy is very, it feels dated, old, but it's also classic, and that's who they are. They have pedigree. They have history. You have the option of being the new cool hot girl at school when you're the other team that's just starting. Now, Houston gets to fall on the track right in between there. There's no direct competition in their city for soccer fans. They have the opportunity just to make it fresh. You know, they get to be the she's all that, where like all of a sudden she comes to school the next day and she's hot because she took her glasses off.
Is that 2 weeks in a row that we've made a she's all that reference on the show?
It might be, but I'm okay with that. They're both accurate.
Now, look, okay. I see what you're saying. I do think this is a very difficult needle to thread, and I don't hate on them going in the direction they went, because I don't know how Houston responds, and I don't like being the guy thousands of miles away who's like, well, that's crap. They did add an FC, which I don't think is necessary. I don't know what that means.
Is that their crest, though? I haven't seen their crest. Is that their actual crest? Is it going to be like Everton, where Everton was doing the EFC? Like, that's another thing people said, too, is that it looked very similar to the EFC that Everton kind of went with on some of their jerseys.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Rangers,
yeah.
Rangers, not Everton. It was
Rangers, yes. Rangers football, RFC, Rangers Football Club, all like intertwined together in that script.
Which I think looks badass. It looks really good. But is that their crest? That's what I don't know. Is that what's going to be on Houston's like pec, like over their heart?
Are you going to say? Are you asking if their boobs are going to be covered by that? Is that what you're saying? That's what you're asking.
In general, yes.
Okay, that's a good question that I don't think anybody has the answer to, because I think it's just a picture of a ball that James Harden is holding.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it works as a crest or not. But I think it works well as a logo. We'll have to see if what it is, but so I got to pick your poison for you then, but I know you don't have the drops today. So if you would, do you want to do a Bill Biv DeVoe
impression? You just want me to do, you got to, who's going to do the drum? Okay. Poison. No, I'm not doing that. That's terrible. Okay. Come on. Right, I don't drive people poison. Away.
In terms of getting something potentially right, who's closer to the mark, Charlotte or Houston?
Oh man. I'm going to say Charlotte, although I think it's a little generic. I don't think Houston is thick enough. If they, like you said, if that's not the actual crest and the crest has more to it, then might lean Houston. But for now, I think Charlotte's explanation for why they went with what they went makes sense, even if I do think it's a little bit generic.
Okay. I would probably go with, I would buy merch with Houston Dynamo stuff on it. I would buy Charlotte's merch. That's how I think of it.
Okay. So if it's a merch question, I might be with you, but I do think as a soccer badge taken on its own, I mean, I do think it looks like an arcade token, but they kind of went with, that's what they wanted to go with. And I do think the crown is going to catch. I do think that's something people will latch onto in Charlotte.
You know what they should do? They should make those tokens at the games, and every season ticket holder gets one per season, and they have a claw machine with merch in it, and you can drop it in once a season and see if you can get merch out of it.
Like a giant claw machine, not the little one.
Giant claw machine. Like one, I one have big one. Enough that you could potentially pick up Connor Lade with it.
There you go. I do have one of those coins. I don't think I would go to the stadium and do the claw.
Does it have three slots in the back of it?
No. The coin,
you know, the tokens were back in the day, right? They had to be grooved so only those tokens could go in the machines.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. We talked about how much it sucked when they all went to tokens because you couldn't transport from arcade to arcade. Yeah.
So if you had one token in your pocket, and every game in the arcade was worth just one token, not 50 cents some, dollars another. Just everything is one play, one token, and you're the biggest arcade in the world. What machine are you putting that token in?
Oh my God. What machine am I doing? Wow. What game did I play the most? You know what? I'm going to say Afterburner.
Back to your Iron Eagle, like love and stuff like that.
I was an Air Force brat living on a base, going to the pizza place we had on the base, and they had Afterburner. So yeah. And it was the sit down version. Sit down version.
So it had the full throttle.
Yeah, absolutely. You're sitting inside the whole cabinet thing. It was great. Love that one.
Man, you know what? There's one like I played a lot at the pizza joint nearby. And I think I brought this up once before and you didn't know what this game was, but Ivan Ironman Stewart Off-Road.
I do remember the game. I remember playing the game on the console.
It was four steering wheels where like three of your friends could play with you, and there was a nitro button, and you just like hit the nitro button as much as you could when you had it to just make sure you go fast.
Yeah, I remember that. I think I would have I think some second choices would be Street Fighter 2 in the arcade.
Tekken. Everybody loved that one. Tekken and Mortal Kombat were going to mine.
I mean, this was super old, but Bad Dudes was like one of my side scroller joints in the arcade when I was a kid.
That's very similar to Double Dragon, right?
Yeah, Double Dragon. Yep, that's a good one too. There are a couple more intense, you know, less joysticky and more like I don't know, trackball or you know, something different. Wheel. I do like wheel, like a good wheel. What about a shooting game? Would you go for a shooting game?
Man, I'm trying to think if there's any shooting games I was like really in love with, and I can't really think of any that I really liked. I played them and stuff like that. There's one. What was anyone that has a pedal? There's used to be ones that had pedals you could hide behind when the pedal was as you operate your foot to hide, and then you peek out when you take your foot off the pedal. I like those kind
of things. Don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. Okay. All right. So Houston Dynamo logo. It could be it's okay. It's pretty good. Could be better. Let's talk about your boys real quick. The LA Galaxy, who are the word is basura in English. I mean, in Spanish, it's trash in English. I got that wrong.
Is that how you say crap?
It's trash, but you can say mierda. You know mierda, of course.
Oh yeah, it smells like it.
That's I don't know how to say it with an Argentine accent, but it is out there. Now the rumor that busted out on Thursday, I think, because some Irish outlet,
I think,
started saying Robbie Keane had the Galaxy job, which is a wild thing to report when GBS is still employed as far as we are aware.
If I'm not mistaken, that same thing said the guys who were an East Coast team. So I'm not sure if that how much we should put behind that.
So I was expecting a Friday night news dump that GBS had been fired after the Wednesday debacle and that they were hiring Robbie Keane. Did not happen, right? GBS would be on the sideline.
I mean, that's an odd hire. Okay, we can go into that in a second. Could you go on with the timeline?
We'll come to the Robbie Keane here thing here in a second. Do you believe GBS is coaching for his job the next time the Galaxy play?
I think that game was the last game. I think now he's coaching for an interim while they find the next guy.
So you think he's only on the job because he's got a contract?
Yeah, I believe in prison they call it dead man walking.
Okay, so he's already a lame duck coach, is what you're telling me.
Absolutely. Wow. There's nothing you can do to save it right now.
Okay, they're
looking for the next guy. And here's the thing. The biggest question is, who goes first, Scalotto or Klein? That's the question.
I think the Galaxy fans would be fine watching them both walk out the door, right?
Yeah, agreed. They definitely would. And Klein's had his time. He's had four years since 2016. They've been trash.
Can I ask you a question, though? Because I understand putting a lot of this on Klein. It was Klein who was there, who handled the transition from Bruce. It was Klein was the guy. Where is Dennis Teclosa in all of this? I know he hasn't been there that long, but how much of this is on Dennis Teclosa at all?
I don't put it on him. I think he actually did a decent job of bringing talent into the team. I think that Guillermo Scalotto couldn't figure out a way to use it. And I think Klein is just responsible for all decisions for the last 4 years while they've been unfortunate. And it rots from the head, right? And Dennis Teclosa has been here just recently, but I think you can say Dennis Teclosa made Chicharito happen. And I think that was most people thought that was a legit hire, not this guy. But most people thought that was a legit guy to go out there and get. He made the deal for Carlos Pavon. That's a really, really good deal. You know, he's helped the transition of Julian Araujo and Alvarez from Los Dos coming up. That's part of the closer gets credit for transitioning.
He drafted Ethan Zubac, right? Is that right? I don't know.
He's got a better win rate than Chicharito.
Yeah. So here's my other question before we get into the Robbie Keane thing. Who makes the decision? Who's the guy that actually pulls the trigger on this and sends them both packing?
Is it Dan Beckerman? I don't know who the guy above Klein is. I don't know if Uncle Phil has to make a call. I don't know who the guy above him is.
Okay, the AEG president, according to what I found on the internet, is Dan Beckerman. I don't know who that is, but he's the guy. He could be Kyle's dad. Could be Kyle's cousin, uncle.
Can someone get Mr. Beckerman on the line? I have some questions for him. But it needs to happen at some point here. Like the dude has just, and I'm not grateful for the Klein's. He was a great player for the team. He's been a good ambassador for the team. I don't think he doesn't have the interest of the LA Galaxy at heart. Just he had his chance, and it's just not good enough. It's just 2007 levels of incompetence. And in 2007, you lost Alexi Lalas, and you lost Frank. Yallop took the Yallop. But later. Then I'm trying to think who's the Dutch guy they brought over. I'm sorry.
Oh, Ruud Gullit.
All of them lost their jobs in 2007. You know, and I think it's the time to just do a fresh start again.
All right. Well, I mean, that obviously means
Robbie Keane's the guy. That makes super nervous.
Well, that's the thing. So, and you know, these rumors are exactly that. I have to imagine that they come out of Ireland, Jared. It's somebody in Robbie's circle or with the Irish national team telling this outlet.
You didn't get the next part of the timeline.
What's the next part of the timeline?
His wife's Twitter account.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, do you buy into the idea that because Claudine Keene put LA back on her social media, that that means they're coming? Because, you know, that she's the kind of person who only does that if she's actually going to spend, like, it feels like, you know, they enjoyed their LA experience before. For sure. They definitely want to come back. He does care about the club. You can't deny that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to say that he wouldn't come here with the right intentions, a winning spirit, a winning mentality, and being a lover of the club. I just don't want to be the dude's first coaching job. Honestly, like, it's his first coaching job. Are we really, if, as Alexi Laws likes to say, we're the one of the, what, three super clubs in this league? If we are we the breeding ground for first-time coaches? That doesn't seem right.
Let me say something. Now, I know this is the Galaxy, right? This is 96 history. This is the rings. This is everything. NYCFC hired a first-time head coach, and he didn't win anything, and he did dip out for France.
About Vieira?
We're talking about Vieira. I know a part of it is the name recognition, right? You hire Robbie Keane not just because – he's a good coach, maybe, but also because he's Robbie Keane.
Dude, NYCFC was a first-year team with a first-year coach.
That was not their first hire. He came in after Christ, Jason Kreis.
Huh? Yeah, he came from Kreis. But then, they still didn't have a pedigree. They didn't have an establishment of winning and stuff like that. It's not the same thing. I don't know. I would rather have Thierry Henry as his second job than Robbie Keane as his first job.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's interesting. I mean, it's not like we have this long list of candidates yet. And again, GBS still hasn't technically been fired as far as we know. So it's all kind of just up in the air anyway. I think it's possible. I think
someone put a cardboard box outside his office. I think he's got an idea.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out if he can make it through tonight with this game against Vancouver. I mean, if
Ain't no chance.
Okay. People who are listening to this tomorrow will know what the result is and they'll be like, oh yeah, he's gone. Or, okay, he's hanging on for another week, I guess. I don't know.
He will continue to coach games until they have the next guy ready.
Well, I saw somebody say, when we saw that rumor pop up with Robbie Keane, I said, wait, did they fire GBS? I just don't know about it. Do they have two coaches? Is somehow the Galaxy have two head coaches? And then the idea was, well, maybe if they fire GBS, the interim head coach can be Gustavo and nobody would know the difference.
I was making the same joke. Dang it.
So I don't know what the Galaxy are going to do. Maybe hire the twin. We have to go through some Americans abroad briefly before we get out of here. We got to start with Weston McKennie getting the Rona, and pretty sure he got it from Ronaldo.
Got to go to the club with him.
Don't hang out with Ronaldo, man. It's just a bad idea for lots of reasons I won't get into on this show.
That dude, you just knew he was going to be the one to get the Rona, right? And listen, I don't know if he got it first. I don't know if Weston got it first and gave it to him. I don't know what the way it went down. But the fact that the two of them are the ones that got it, that means they're chilling.
Yeah. By the way, they drew with Crotone yesterday, not saying it's because Weston McKennie wasn't available, but
I have a little bit more to do with Ronaldo not being available, to be honest with you.
I'm just saying, maybe if you had an American in your lineup, but you might win a game. They have Alvaro Morata. Hold on. Wait. Before I know it's Ronaldo, but they have Alvaro Morata starting his place. It's not like they have a chump fitting in for Ronaldo. Come on.
So you think it's the chump filling in for Weston McKennie that's the problem?
Yeah, sure. Betancourt or Arthur. Yeah, one of those two guys is a chump.
Got it. So, but here's the real messed up thing for the average American soccer fan. Because Weston had to get a cappuccino with Cristiano Ronaldo, we're all going to get robbed of McKennie versus Dest in the Champions League.
Yeah, no, that is a bad thing. It is a problem.
That's messed up.
It's not cool. Ronaldo's going to miss that game too?
I believe so. I think his quarantine is going to go through that as well. I can't remember what the exact date of that fixture is, but I know for a fact Weston McKennie's quarantine goes through.
By the way, should Weston McKennie follow in the footsteps of his more famous teammate, who he may or may not have given or gotten COVID-19 from, and post Instagram pictures with like every single stomach muscle that exists, like just busting
is that
out?
What he's doing right now?
That's what Ronaldo's doing. He's like by the
point. Do you think Weston's got those abs?
No, I'm not saying he does. I'm saying should he be working towards those kind of ideas?
I did see an amazing picture of Weston McKennie posing with like a GT race car, which might be his own. I don't know. It looked like it was his own.
Wow.
You see this? This is on the Italian webs I saw.
Okay, because you got deep Italian web knowledge. I didn't know
you
were.
I'll tell you what, because I'm going to tell you what my favorite hobby is right now. my favorite hobby right now, and this is I had to do yesterday for Serginho Dest because I can't watch Barcelona in America without paying a bunch of money out of my pocket. My favorite thing to do on game days is to go on Twitter, search for the player that's American that I'm really into. For this, for example, yesterday was Serginho Dest, and then translate all the ones that are in the languages I don't understand, because that's the people who are going to give you the truth.
Sure,
you can't be wearing Everyone got red, white, and blue. Red, white, blue glasses on when they're watching this.
Yes,
I want to watch the writing in Nigerian.
Yeah, yeah. If their Twitter account handle is USMNT number one forever, you probably know what you're going to get.
Not these ones. These are like Calcio Fan 12. You know, and I'm like, okay, what's that guy had to say?
Yes, you mean Italian, and I don't. Yeah, that's probably true that you'll get a more unvarnished. Now, you said you did watch some Serginho Dest. They lost that game. I had to watch
the all touches video afterwards because I can't get BN Sports on DirecTV. I can't get it on Spectrum. Like, it's ridiculous that I can't watch La Liga in Barcelona without paying $60 to do it.
Right. This is true. You almost want to be the English fans who have to pay $20 to watch their team play right now on pay-per-view. Listen, I'm saying right now,
one of y'all wants to DM me with like a link to your to how
you want to go back to the old school days with the massive.
How do you think I watched Claudio Reyna back in the day? I was watching like dirty like streams of Rangers games and PSV games, watching DeMarcus Beasley. I did my dues.
Yeah, watching those streams was like crawling through the pipe.
You know how many viruses I got on the computer because I was trying to watch those games?
I was going to say the pipe in Shawshank Redemption.
Third-party like streams of soccer games will get you more viruses than like RedTube.
I thought you were going to go in a different direction.
On both of them, you got to be careful what you click. Let's just say that. Okay.
Yeah, don't click.
I hear.
Okay. So Tyler Adams plays reasonably well in a win over Augsburg, 83% passing, 86 touches. Key thing in that,
he played in the middle too.
Yes, playing in the middle, which is a good sign for us. All right, Giovanni Reyna, we'll close out here because so don't stretch this Puerto Rican internet too much. Giovanni Reyna plays in a 1-0 win over Hoffenheim, maybe not his best performance, but the big story last week, or the big story since you and I talked, is that suddenly Real Madrid is eyeing Giovanni Reyna, perhaps as a double swoop for him and Erling Haaland. And I do believe they are soccer's Beavis and Butthead. I'm 100% convinced of that, especially after Gio Jared said in the press, somebody asked him about their bromance, and he said, oh, it's so great to be one of the bromances in football that people are talking about, which is just the...
Dude, come on. He's being honest, dude. You're 17 years old.
No, I love it.
The hottest striker in the world is your boy, and everyone's attaching you to each other. Like, oh, yes, we're very tight. We're a package deal. Sorry, Real Madrid, you can't have him without me.
No, he's just... Yes. He's so earnest. He's so bright-eyed and green and just... He's perfect in that way. He's innocent.
Too good for this world.
Don't you want to like protect him? Put him in a
You know who wouldn't be out clubbing with Cristiano Ronaldo?
Giovanni Reyna would not be doing
that.
No.
That's his home. No. I don't know what he's doing, but it's something
he's,
like
he's light.
I almost kind of want him to be a little more like I feel like he might not be enjoying his teens enough.
Well, he's not even 18 yet. Let's give him a chance, right? Like, you go from that moment, you switch over. Like, that's that first time that somebody gives you a sip of beer at a party you're not supposed to be at. And I know you didn't do that, Jared, the one American male who never did a high school drinking party. But Giovanni Reyna will discover this one day, and it will be fine, okay? It's going to happen naturally. I don't want Erling to push him too hard, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Gio, I'm saying go have a little fun. Don't return Rubinho's texts. But to have a little fun if you could.
I don't think there's anything to the Real Madrid thing other than people like to make rumors up for big clubs, and they are the hottest thing in the world right now.
Okay, but then, I mean, sorry, you have to let me know the guy's name. Watzke, is that his name?
Watzke, yeah.
The executive for Borussia
Dortmund. I believe it's Hans-Joachim Watzke.
That's like super German and Polish at the same time somehow.
That guy's probably in Hydra. No, sorry. That's probably not appropriate. I probably shouldn't say that. Go ahead.
That guy might relate to my wife. Her last name used to have a W and two Z's in it. he's saying that Gio and Bellingham will stay for a long time. I think you have a further quote on that, right?
No, that's it. That's all it was. Literally, it was him talking about we have a bunch of young players and Bellingham and Reyna are going to stay for a long time. Now, I think he's saying that because how old are they? 17. They're super young. It's just that. It's more than anything else.
This because you're like, hey, Real Madrid, just so you know, you're gonna have to pay out the beehole for these guys.
200 million euros. 200 million euros. That's what
for
I'm
both
thinking.
Of them or combined or.
You know, this is what I said at one point last week. I said maybe you get Erling Haaland for 125, and you get Giovanni Reyna for 75, and then you give them a discount on both 175 for both. What do you think? Something like that.
Sure. I'm not sure what the market value is. But listen, Bruce Dorb is right. First of all, make it sound like you want them. They're part of our plan. They're long term. I mean, we don't want to part with them. Ooh, you're going to make me. You're going to twist my arm. Okay, how much are you talking about? Like, it's a car salesmanship, you know?
It is. All right. So Giovanni Reyna.
I also am not okay with the German guy saying, here's a quote, we are currently forming an axis. That's not a good quote for a German.
No, don't say that. You're right. He did say that. What Hans Joachim, what are you doing, dude? HJ, man.
Yeah. Read the room. We're over here fighting the fascists. Even what do you keep saying this stuff?
Keep it cool. All right. Last thing, and there's some other Americans, and we'll get to everybody. Andy Robinson apparently had a good day. Matt Miazga at Anderlecht had a good day, but Christian Pulisic playing in the wildest, most chaotic, nonsensical, crazy ass. What the hell are you doing, team at Chelsea? I mean, Frank Lampard is an insane person based on the way they defend. Obviously, he keeps starting Kepa. That's a thing.
Do you think that's what he wants to defend?
I think he doesn't know any better. I think he just throws attackers.
Have Conte on the field, and they're still like that. Like, that's one of the best defensive midfielders of the last three years.
I know, but Conte can't play on an island by himself with no help at the back. And look what Zuma did, gifting a goal. Look, they're just a disaster defensively, right? But Pulisic played relatively well. He did have the hockey assist or the MLS assist. On was it Mason Mount's goal? So
Havertz. I think it was Havertz. Havertz
was on Havertz' goal. Okay,
yeah, Werner assisted, and I think it was and Havertz got the goal. But Christian Pulisic receives the ball, beats two defenders, and threads the needle into a perfectly timed weighted ball behind the back line to Werner, and Timo Werner squares the ball across for Havertz to put away. Definitely, Pulisic had the most creative part of that buildup.
Well, yeah. So again, Chelsea may have issues. Overall,
the biggest issue is if Pulisic's going to be your number 10 and he's your guy, right? He's your ride or die. Why are you playing him on the right when all last season the success he had was on the left? They're playing him on the right to squeeze in Mason Mount for some reason.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is what I meant, though. This is what I said when I don't know that Lampard has a clear idea of what he wants to do, because Pulisic works better outside in on that right foot, right? We know that. And it's not that he can't get to the end line. It's not that he can't play with his left foot, but he likes to cut inside. His angles are better from that position. He sees the field better, I think, from that position. So you're right. If he plays central, maybe that's okay. But yeah,
it's even more crazy because he's perfectly the way he plays from outside in is perfect for Chilwell, who is having a fantastic breakout season with Chelsea on the left at the left back position. He's bombing down the sidelines, making great crosses in on that left footed service, and Pulisic will naturally open up that space for him with the way he cuts inside. I don't see how this is not just, and I think Pulisic and Azpilicueta do well, and maybe it's because you want Pulisic to be further up the field, and Azpilicueta is a better defender, and maybe that's why they're doing that. But for me, the Chilwell Pulisic partnership looks like it's just made for each other.
So we're gonna see how this develops with Chelsea. I mean, again, I just think it's like Frank Lampard is taking giant gobs of attacking players and throwing them against the wall and letting them stick wherever they are, and that's part of their problem. But it's also defensively, and again, if you have Zuma making a mistake like that and then not tracking back, not even trying to recover, what are you doing standing there watching the whole thing develop with Kepa? All right, we probably should wrap this
up. I know we're out of time, but can we just say real quick, there's an American that started for Barcelona this weekend.
Okay, yeah, Sergiño Dest. We had to watch the all touches video because you can't see him on television, but he did start in a loss. But he started nonetheless.
Good movements, man. Dude, good movement. I mean, it'd be easy to put a young kid in there, first game at that level, and expect him to be conservative. You know, and play just, hey, I don't want to do anything wrong. I'm going to play conservative. I'm going to make sure that I keep the coach happy. But that dude came in and said, hey, you hired me to do a job and play a certain way. I'm going to play the way Sergiño Dest plays. This dude was like slashing on runs and beating for pace. It was really, really impressive.
It's going to be good to watch him with the national team when that happens. Okay. So let's wrap this up. I want to thank everybody for dealing with all this weirdness with Puerto Rico and everything else. I'm glad I got to do the show tonight. I Jared, I'm gonna, you can add on here if you'd like, but the thing we mentioned earlier, I just happened to read the update that was posted by the Total Soccer Show. I'm guessing by Taylor. Daryl is legitimately one of the nicest people I have ever met. I don't know that we're close necessarily, but he is such a genuine guy. I've said this before. The thing about Daryl Grove is that he asks you questions because he cares about what you think and what you want, what he wants to hear what you have to say. He doesn't ask questions just to ask them. He doesn't wait for his turn.
He's a fan of the scene, man. He's a fan of the scene. He loves this community so much.
I really do love that guy, and I'm extremely broken up right now. So I just want to say our thoughts and our prayers and our best wishes are with Daryl and his wife. And if you know the Total Soccer Show at all, please, you know, reach out and send him your best wishes. I guess we're thinking about him. That's all I'm gonna
to tell you point. Everything you need to know about them. Like, we should be competitors. You know, we really should. And not a time has gone by where he didn't open up his home in his show to us, right, to help us, to give us a platform. And it's just always been such fun vibes talking with them every time we've had the opportunity. So our thoughts and look, are sending good vibes to him right now.
Total Soccer Show is an absolute monster because Daryl and Taylor are completely genuine. They are who they are. Yeah. People love their relationship and what they do, and they know the game inside out. And again, just passing on our best wishes. All right. I guess that's it. I guess we got to go. It's going to be dry out the gate, but we're going to put something in later for everybody listening on the podcast. I want to thank Jared for coming by. Nikki Soup and Sausage, who couldn't be here, definitely wanted to be. Shouts out to him. Jared, anything else before we get out of here?
I think that's it, buddy. Enjoy.
All right, man. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.